That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
From the newsroom to the nursery,
we're juggling a demanding career on live television
with the demands of motherhood. I'm Katie.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Ingrid.
They are anchor moms.
All right.
I thought Ingrid was going to start talking.
And go.
Go.
Good.
One, two, three, go.
Good day, friends, family, grandmas, grandpas. Whatever
dads.
You are out there, dads, moms,
sisters,
brothers. There's probably not brothers. A single brother that's out there listening.
Not even your brothers? I don't have any brothers.
Definitely not my brothers.
For sure not your
listening.
Brothers. I'm pretty sure my brothers never listen to this podcast.
Get them to listen to it. Oh, please.
What have you been doing?
Okay. Well, anyways, we're so glad that you, the listener, are listening. We are here for you. So, hey, guys, I entered my third trimester.
Congratulations.
Thank God. So I'm still like a couple months away from having this other baby, but I'm already in panic. I'm already in panic mode.
Why?
Because I'm going to have two children's bedrooms for three mm-hmm. children. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I'm just not mm-hmm. sure what to do because the two little ones will both be girls, but my daughter's already three. She can't share a room with an infant, right? So I guess I'll have to put her with her five-year-old brother. But I just feel like this is going to be a complete disaster because she's still in a crib. And mm-hmm. if I switch her to like a toddler bed, it's going to be, you know what, Karen, because you've been going
yeah.
through this for like
I do
weeks.
Know.
So I don't know what to do. I mean,
here's
maybe I should
what
just
I
put
do.
Her with the baby.
I don't know. That's so tricky. A newborn. Mm-mm. Here's what I would do. Can you move the crib into Hartman's room?
I mean, I guess I could.
I would try that. I mean, what then how will Hartman sleep? Oh, you're saying Liesl's crib into Hartman's.
Right.
So Liesl's in her crib and Hartman's in his toddler bed and they're sharing a room. And then the new baby has
another crib.
Her own room. Yeah. Because if she's not crawling out, I don't think, you know, and maybe have a conversation with Hartman about like, I mean, you know, it's all how you pitch it, right? Like, they'll be excited if you pitch it the right way to be sharing a room and you're the big brother and you have to make sure she stays in her crib and, you know, all that. I think that's the best bet. You know, we kind of have a similar situation because we have two bedrooms with three kids. And we now that Bennett is in a toddler bed, the girls share. But yeah, that's what I would do. You guys have heard my drama. You do not take that kid out of the toddler, out of the crib until you have to.
You absolutely have to. I know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, but also you just said Liesl's three and she's not three yet. She's not three until the end
She'll
of the
year. She'll be three when I have the baby though, is what I'm saying.
Well, almost three. Almost three.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you think about it, like if I'm doing August, the baby will be in my room for a couple months. And then by the
yeah.
time she's three, like
it's
time for the baby mm-hmm. to be in her room.
Yeah.
I guess the main thing is like, should I make a transition before I have the baby or after I have the baby? Like, should I put the toddlers together while I'm 9 months pregnant and deal with it? Or when I have a newborn, both sound like awful options.
Right.
Which one is better?
Honestly, I would do before just because I feel like the new baby is going to be so much. I feel like we made the mistake of like changing everything at once for Bennett. Like, let's potty train you and take away your pacifier and put you in a toddler bed and switch you to your sister's room like all in the same weekend. That was terrible. I don't know what I was thinking. Like, I think the less changes at one time, the better. And I think if you make that change with a newborn, it's just kind of a question mark of how it's going to go. I will also say this on the brighter side of my Bennett sleeping drama, Ellery and Henry never once got out of their toddler bed.
Yeah.
You know, so like it's not all doomsday just because my most recent experience was terrible. My other two were fine. So, you know, everybody's going to be different. Maybe Liesl will switch to a toddler bed and see Hartman staying in his bed and be like, easy peasy. You never
know. Right. But sometimes he doesn't stay in his bed. So
well,
I don't know. Okay. All right.
Well, you can hope for the best and maybe don't do toddler bed and new room all at once. Like maybe do toddler bed for a couple of weeks in the room that she's in right now, and then do the transition to Hartman's room just so it's not so much change and so much switch, or, you know, leave the crib in Hartman's room.
That's what I would
then do.
Then
do the transition as opposed to like all of that at one time. Okay. I mean, listen, that's I talked to parents whose kids thought they could never get out of their toddler bed. Like they just assumed that. So, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but that's what I'm like praying for.
Yeah.
I'm like delaying this toddler bed. Are you using Liesl's crib for the new baby?
I am. So I'm going to have to figure out the crib situation. I'll just have to put together like his old crib.
That is a really cute crib.
It needs to stay like nice in the nursery. I'm not putting it in the toddler room. Who knows what'll happen to it.
No, I agree with that. So on the subject, small update, Bennett's bedtime situation has gotten better. So just know that even if it is terrible, it will someday get better. Now though, I don't even know what time she falls asleep, you guys. Like she is in there and I can hear her like reading books, like flipping the pages at like 9 o'clock at night.
Most days she doesn't
come out, but I'm like, and so last night we went in there and when we were going to bed, you guys, she was sleeping underneath Ella Ray's bed, like laying on the floor, underneath, like literally underneath Ella Ray's bed.
Let me remind listeners
that she was dead asleep.
Karen does not like, she's not into like monitors. That's like not a thing for her.
Oh, that's true.
If you had a baby monitor, you could be like, what is my child doing? She's climbing out the window. Like,
I actually thought last night, I was like, we should really get a monitor in here. But it was funny because Greg was like, you got to go see where Bennett's sleeping. So I go in and, you know, it's dark and I'm like, look at the big pile of blankets and pillows and loveys. And I'm like, gosh, I don't even see her. Where is she? And Gregory goes, Karen, you're about to step on her. And I'm like, wait, what? Literally. Underneath. And then like, I, you know, of course, pull her out, put her back in her bed. And then I like can feel like the pile of drool, like on the hardwood floor from where she was sleeping. Oh my gosh. I mean, she was out like all the way underneath the bed. I don't know.
Hey, at least you don't have to dust for a while.
Yeah. I'll just like pull her around
mop
under
your,
there.
Mop
before
your 2-year-old underneath
her
bed.
I don't know. Good luck, Ingrid. It'll work out.
Thanks.
See, here's the thing. Even if there's like a tough couple of weeks/months, it'll eventually work out.
From the news desk.
This first article is from today.com parents section. Have you heard of Ashley Tisdale? Are you guys aware of who she is?
I had to Google her. She's High School Musical girl, right? No?
Yeah, I didn't recognize her. But she's apparently a really famous actress with, you know, younger people.
Really famous.
I don't know.
Yeah, but she's famous.
Enough to be on today.com. She's a lot more famous than the Anger Moms.
That's not really true.
According to Wikipedia this morning, she's like from High School Musical. She's done a lot of Disney stuff, like CW shows. She's apparently a really good singer. I think if you're doing High School Musical, you're a really good singer. So anyway, she's actually 35 years old and she just had her first baby. And she's revealing that her breastfeeding struggles in her fourth trimester almost like put her over the edge. So that fourth trimester is kind of that, you know, it's unofficial. It's not an actual thing, but it's the 12 weeks after you give birth. You know, it's like raw. You just gave birth. Your baby's still really attached to you. You're attached to your baby. You're healing. You're trying to get used to this new baby in your life. So she had a big problem, poor girl, with breastfeeding, which a lot of moms have this issue. She tried the nipple shield. She tried all this stuff. It just didn't help. And she finally just came to terms with it. She's like, look, I'm going to put this baby on formula. And she just felt so much better about finally making that decision. And I think she's, you know, a good example to moms. Like, you know, breastfeeding is a beautiful, wonderful thing. It doesn't work for a lot of moms. A lot of moms aren't able to produce enough milk, or, you know, the baby won't latch or whatever. And just to kind of give yourself some grace if you end up having to use some formula, which I think is just a really good reminder.
Yeah. You guys know I had a really hard time breastfeeding, and I always tell new moms, like, oh my gosh, the hardest part of birthing a child is breastfeeding in my mind. It was really tough for me. I won't go into all the stories because they get a little
gross.
intimate, graphic. I guess. I don't know. Yeah, yeah, graphic.
Like your cabbage leaf story. That's a good one.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But one thing I was going to say, I do remember I was having such a hard time and but I was pumping a little bit. This was really early on. And I remember I was so determined to breastfeed. But I could, every time I put her on, it was so painful. And so Gregory took, have I told you guys this? Took this little like dropper, like, you know, the little droppers like that you use for like when they're really small to do medicine, right? Like a tiny little dropper. And so I was like holding Ella Ray in my lap. I mean, she's like days old, like very, very new. And she hadn't eaten, you know, and I'm like worried she's starving. And she was screaming and he had that little dropper of breast milk and she's like flailing about. And like every time her head would pass through, he would try to like drop it in midair and like land it in her mouth, like this tiny droplet of breast milk.
Like a birdie.
Is it like all over you or like one? Oh, it's getting everywhere. And it's like only like one out of every like 10 drops is going in her mouth.
Cause she's like crying.
Cause she's crying and like flailing and she's little and she doesn't know. And he's like, so I just remember him like so particularly like with that dropper, like so concentrated, like I am getting these tiny drops of breast milk in this baby's mouth if it's the last thing I do.
I could see him doing that.
It was such a struggle. And I just remember like at that point, I was like, this is ridiculous. We're feeding our baby breast milk with a tiny dropper that like, she's not even getting much. Like we've got to call the lactation consultant. Like enough is enough. This is crazy.
Yeah.
But you do crazy, crazy things when you're trying to get that tiny little person, the food that you know it needs. Anyway, I'm just glad that people are talking about it more. I feel like it's just something that and I think there's so much judgment, right? Like there's a lot of people who are like, you've got to breastfeed. It's the thing to do. And I just hate that there's so much pressure around it.
Yeah. I think people are surprised. Like a lot of people think breastfeeding just comes naturally and normally. And for some people it does. And for some people it doesn't, but people don't really talk a lot about that it sometimes takes work. I know a couple of new moms who have had to do all sorts of different things in order to breastfeed, and good for them. But also like if you decide it's, you know, that you want to do formula, good for you too for making that decision.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes.
So you guys, I am going to do a behind the scenes this week.
Oh,
switching it up here, ladies.
So I can't say mom, mom, mom.
No, you can sing behind the scenes. Behind the scenes. To do
or something.
There you go. There you go. Okay. So I just thought this would be a fun thing to talk about. I had to fill in recently at work at the station. And, you know, I only go in like when I have to fill in. So very infrequently.
Fill in anchoring, right?
Fill in anchoring and in the studio. So I had to actually like go in the studio and anchor a couple of newscasts. I was floored at still, you know, we are a year plus into this pandemic. It's almost to me gotten emptier in there. I mean, it's crazy how lonely it was in there. And it was just the weirdest feeling of like, oh my goodness, we are, you know, what, over a year and change into this. And there is still no one in this building. It was so bizarre to me. And it made me think like, gosh, Katie has been dealing with this for so long now. So is that like, I just was curious, are you used to it by now? Does it still feel weird? Is it the new normal? Like,
I think I'm totally used to it. In fact, well, you were here on a weekend too. So there's already fewer people. I'm here on weekdays. So there are just by nature of that time frame, there's more people than there are on the weekends. No, I'm totally used to it. I think it's going to be super weird when people start coming back into this building. In fact, if like we're in the middle of a news, sometimes we don't even have camera people
right
in the studio. So if you hear, you guys know this, but people at home, you know, that door to the left of the desk, the one that leads out into the hallway. So not the main entrance to the studio, but another door that leads into another part of the station. If you hear that door opening during the newscast, you're my co-anchor and I look like, who's in the building? Cause you just can't, you can't fathom. You know where everybody is, right? You know the producers are in the booth, the director is in the booth, there's someone in master control, the executive producer in the newsroom, and you're here. So who else would that be? Like you can account for every single person
in this, and we have a huge building. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm used to it. I'm kind of the opposite. It's going to weird me out when there are more people.
When there's more people.
I'm so accustomed to not having anyone here. Yeah.
Well, and you're right, because there's no camera person. And so they set your shot in the beginning. And then I didn't go to the bathroom the whole show. Because I'm like, I don't want to get up and like sit back in the wrong place. And
yeah,
like,
you could probably the camera's do that. Off. I'm sure they would.
But it was crazy. And Ingrid is working from home right now. Ingrid, are you missing being in the building, or are you like now like getting used to working from home?
I love working from home. I just love it. I don't know. It's just nice, especially like in my current state of pregnancy. Yeah. It's very nice. I will say I had to go get a new microphone the other day. So I had to run into the building and I saw people that I hadn't seen in a year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like I left and I was like, I overdid it. Like, I think I was a little too excited in there. Like, I haven't seen these people in so long. I was like running around chatting with everyone. So maybe I have some social issues from this whole past year, but we'll work on that.
I do most of the stuff, obviously we can do an email, but every once in a while, somebody from the station will call me on the phone to talk about something with work. And I'm like, hey, so what's going on? So what's happening? What's new with you? Like, I want to
And they're like, everything's great here. I really need you to get this package in by 6 p.m.
Yeah. They're like, actually, like, we're all still under deadline doing our thing. Like, we actually see other people and, like, we have a social life. So, like, bye. Go talk to your 5-year-old. Okay.
Yeah. Like, in this business, we don't really, like, small talk very often. Chat. We're constantly, like, busy under deadline pressure. Like, you don't greet people. Like, when I call the newsroom, something's wrong. I'm like, someone goes like newsroom, like, hey, is this Kevin? Like, that's it. That's the only I'm like, okay, my shot's down. I need you to go into
what'd you do? No. Blah, blah, blah.
There's no small talk in this business.
Except for when I call and I'm like, hey, is anybody else around? Like, who else is not busy?
I have heard you on speakerphone, like when they'll answer the phone on speakerphone.
Oh, speakerphone.
I have, like, it always makes me smile because you're always like, you know, Karen, like, living in her perfect world at home. Meanwhile, like, you know, like, the drudgery and, like, the station. Like, there's a marked difference between the tone of your voice and the tone of the person answering the phone.
Right. But correct. Yes.
Okay. I don't know that it's that perfect for me working at home, but I do get really lonely. And I am like, hi, let's chat.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny.
Anyway.
So some people are going to be coming back into the building soon, so we'll keep you posted on that, because that'll be a whole nother behind the scenes thing, people coming back in. So let's move on to news story number 2. This one comes from Slate, and it's their Karen Feeding. It's sort of a column that they do where people write in with these crazy either crazy dilemmas, and they give them advice. And this one I said, my wild aunt used to seem awesome, but can I trust her with my kids? This woman talks about how she had a young aunt growing up who is actually very instrumental, helped homeschool her when traditional school wasn't really working, but who also did crazy things like toilet paper people's houses with these. And it's not just toilet paper people's houses. It was like an elaborate scheme. They dressed in all black. They didn't talk. And then they would drive by the next day to sort of see the fruits of their labor, if you will. And so she loved her growing up, and now she has her own kids, and she's this aunt. Sometimes her kids stay at her parents' house, and sometimes she worries that the crazy aunt is going to come back and do similarly crazy things with her own kids. And whether or not she should be worried. What do y'all think about this? Is this valid?
I mean, this was what, 30 years ago? Yeah. Like,
surely
this woman is like older, a little like elderly.
That's what the woman, the person writing the column says is like, hold on a second. You've changed. You should probably assume that your aunt has as well. And if she hasn't, that's like a whole nother issue. But you know, she just sort of advises that you might remember all the great things she did for you, like was a support system for you when you were growing up, helped homeschool you, but you might find it to your benefit to make it plain that you expect different things from her encounter with your kids. But I'm with you. You would think this aunt had sort of grown up a little bit, right?
Yeah. And like, you know, everybody needs like one aunt to let them like get a little crazy. Right. Well, no, I mean, like, you know, you've got your parents and your grandparents and your aunts and uncles, like,
you know, most of those people are going to be like the disciplinarians of your life. Like, it's okay to have one aunt who's a little bit more like loose, right?
No, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. I mean, like, oftentimes I think like children, when they have like an issue, like say they're like at a party and they're drunk and they're like in some trouble, like they're like, I can't call my mom. Oh, I'll call Aunt Sue because she won't judge me. She's like, right, not going to tell my mom, but she's going to like get me into a safe spot. Like, I don't know. I think that that could be like a you're right, like a good person in your life to have. I mean, but I also like don't want them to think these things are okay if Crazy Sue is still crazy, that they should be doing those things. I don't know. I think I'd maybe just put some humor into it, right? Like,
right,
okay, like I'm leaving, but look, Aunt Sue, if like you start toilet papering some houses with my kids, like the, like we're done. Like you're no longer allowed to babysit or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Did I ever, this like totally reminds me, she wasn't my aunt, but my sister and I had a babysitter growing up who would let my sister and I smoke. She would go outside and have a cigarette and she would give us cigarettes. And
what?
So I sometimes
How old
think about,
are you?
I don't know. Like
10?
Ten. Somewhere like old enough to be interested in cigarettes. But, you know, like, yes, probably 10, 12, whatever, probably right on the cusp.
That's
of
hilarious.
Not needing a babysitter. But my point is, my mom, I promise you, never suspected a thing. And I who knows what was wrong with that babysitter? I need to ask my sister if she still remembers this. But my point is like, I think these kind of things probably happen and parents are never the wiser. And it ends up being probably in most cases totally fine. But mm-hmm. I do think that there's probably, I mean, I would kill a babysitter who let River smoke a cigarette at the age of 10. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. I mean, you would be.
I would flip.
Livid. You would be livid. Yeah. So it's just, it's interesting. And of course, I don't smoke right now. I don't feel like I'm any worse for the wear over it. But it is interesting. I think it's not just, I mean, the people who you expose your kids to, like you just, you never really know what's going on when you put your kids
with somebody else.
Care, right?
I'm like, when, as I was reading this, I was like, oh shoot, I hope I'm not like the wild aunt that like my siblings are worried about.
Well, you don't smoke and you don't seem like you like to
put
paper people's houses.
So I'll answer that question for you. You're not wild and crazy, Karen.
Well,
you're just a perfect amount of crazy. And that's why
I can't tell
friends.
If that's like a good thing or a bad thing.
I know. I'm like, not really sure how to say that.
Okay. Well, I think if anyone's listening to our podcast, like, at all for 5 minutes, they're like, these women are not the crazy mom, not the crazy, crazy kooky
what?
Moms.
You're kidding.
Well, I will say I haven't toilet papered a house in a hot minute. It's been since high school. So I guess we're
never toilet papered.
I've never toilet papered.
What?
Maybe you are the crazy one.
Are you the crazy one? I'm never leaving.
You didn't do it in high school? Senior week? No.
No, I'm a good person. I don't do things like that. Karen.
That doesn't even sound fun to me. I got to be honest.
Oh, it's real fun.
Okay. Well, you will not be watching my child soon.
Never mind.
And with the toilet paper shortage,
seems like a bad idea.
Now would not be.
It's just irresponsible now.
Yeah.
Now it's just ridiculous. All right. Moving on to our last article of the day. This is called Dog Mom Days. Women like to test parenting on fur babies before having kids of their own, says the survey. Yep. So first of all, I did not know this, that there is a dog Mother's Day, similarly to regular Mother's Day, also in May. Did you guys know
about
this?
Oh, I thought it was just the same day.
No, it's like the week before.
No, it's a separate thing.
Like an actual day?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. No.
Yeah. So that's a thing. Also, the survey says that half of all dog moms had their dog before their baby to kind of like test and see if they could like have the kid. Now, I will say I totally fall into this category. We were thinking about kids and we're like, well, let's get a puppy and see how that goes, you know. So we got the puppy and I very distinctly remember calling our friends who already had kids when we got the puppy and being like, oh my gosh, I totally get it now.
And
I totally get it. And they're like, no, you don't. It's a puppy. Like, go away. No, you don't really get it. But I thought like, oh my gosh, I remember being like, it's a puppy. You've got to take her out every 4 hours. Like I can't go straight out to dinner with my friends after work. Like I got to go home and take the dog out. Like this is a lot of responsibility. You know, like it was a big thing to get a puppy. So I definitely think I can see where a lot of people do this. The funny thing is, you know, now sometimes our dog Nelly goes to work with my husband as kind of like a wannabe therapy dog. You guys, there are days where it's like 3 p.m. and I text him like, do you have the dog? Because I haven't seen her in a while. Like, is the dog even home? Like, I have no idea where the dog is. Like, I literally will be here for like 5 straight hours and I have no idea where the dog is. So it's funny how like you kind of test parenting on the dog. And then once you have multiple children, the dog is like totally forgotten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sad.
So Katie, to your husband like you were, too. You're like, husband, yeah. Where are husband, you? Yeah. Who are you?
Katie, I feel like you were kind of a dog mom, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Annie was the true love of my life. Brian and I mean, we got her. Actually, we got Annie. I think this was a dumb idea. We got Annie while we were still dating. So I don't know what would have had we broken up. Like, what?
Oh, I thought dating? You had her first.
Uh-uh. So we got
her. I did, too.
We were dating and, but Annie has always liked Brian better than me, by the way. So Brian lived here in Asheville and I lived in Charlotte and we would split time. We shared custody.
That sounds really difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, not,
but you were dating the whole time.
We were dating. Then we got engaged and got married obviously. And we still have Annie who is getting older and grayer by the day. But I mean, like when I think about poor Annie passing, it makes me sad because she has been through so much. I mean, we were dating, then we got engaged, then we moved across the country. Annie drove back across. I drove back across the country with Annie by myself. I had to like stay in a hotel finishing out a contract in Colorado for a month. And Annie stayed with me in this hotel. Like we've just, I know it sounds cheesy, but this dog has been like through every milestone of Brian and I's relationship, she has been a part of. And then we had River, and I feel bad because poor Annie's life is not half as fun and as interesting. Yeah. And in fact, I'm sure she puts up with River. Like River loves her, but she's very like, all right, fine. Like sort of just resigned to the fact that this is her. This is like how she's spending her senior citizen days. You know,
we
read by a toddler,
or Katie, I should say, read a story this morning about how you can like soon you'll be able to like decode your cat and like what they're saying.
Yeah,
I would love to like hear what like Nellie and Annie have to say about like the past like 5-10 years with you ladies, like the stories they must have. Like, probably not appropriate for anchor moms, and I wish I knew all of them.
No, I mean, I would say not, but I do. I mean, I think, you know what, having pets is not having kids is much harder than having a pet, but I love our pets and I think they're really good for our kid. I'll tell you, the cats, I'll be honest at this point, I could like take them or leave them, but we'll never get rid of them because River loves them. She even says, this cat loves you. This cat loves you. And I'm always
I don't know.
Whatever.
You're like, all right, like, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, it's like a zoo at our house. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't think it's a bad idea to try out parenthood.
Now you have a bear in your backyard, so you got that.
Yeah, I mean,
you got the whole zoo.
We got the whole, some turkeys. We got the whole gamut. So, yeah, I'm not surprised. I have even, I will admit to this, in the past, I've even gotten, like, Father's Day cards for Brian from Annie.
Oh, my gosh, Katie.
Like, I'm that person.
But I just, like, threw up in my mouth just to tell
you.
Did you have birthday parties for her? Did you have birthday parties for her?
No.
Did you, like, color her paw and, like, push down on the card? Like,
okay,
and,
guys.
Like, a paw print?
No, but I'll be honest. I hadn't thought about it, but we should have. We should have. That's how much we loved this dog. I still love her. But then you have a kid, and it's just.
I know.
It's not the same. Sorry, Annie. I do love you. But
I know. I do feel bad for our dog, too. She's, like, sitting next to me right now, like, groaning as I'm talking about this.
Karen, I can see her, like, pushing her foot against the dog, like, out of the frame, like, slowly. Yeah.
Like, the dog's nose, like, out of it.
You're, like, hands going up, pushing it away from the screen.
Win of the week.
It's been a while since I've had a win, I feel like. So
let's hear it.
We have been taking, the weather's getting nicer. We've been taking a lot of like long drives on the weekends to like do some things. And this is like a miracle in my life. River
has not gotten car sick.
Recently. Yay!
And if you, I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast in the past. I mean, homegirl has gotten car sick on airplanes, in rental cars, in Hawaii, driving down the street a block from our house. I mean, it is like the struggle is real. And I come up with like a couple of like, we have these like special bracelets that hit trigger points. Maybe I'll do that for a mom's next week. We don't watch iPads anymore in the car. We roll down the windows. We have like all these things that we do, and knock on wood,
they're working.
And now we feel like this was, I mean, if you have a kid who gets car sick, you, and especially a toddler, because a toddler, by the way, can't say to you, oh, I'm getting I'm about to throw up. So it is very much a source of stress. And it, for a while, it kind of kept us from going long distances, or it would change the places we would go or the directions that we would go, because we just, and then, you know, after your kid throws up in your car seat, like there's, you have to go home and deal with that and clean it up. So, so this has been huge for us. I don't know that she's cured of it. I think it's more importantly, she's just, we've developed ways to get around it. What are you taking pictures of, Karen?
I'm documenting.
My kid vomiting in her car seat. Ingrid's like cheesing over there. And Karen, I'm glad everyone's listening to me.
I'm listening intently, but I was trying to document.
I actually had a question. I have a follow-up question because I was listening. So when we get in the car, because we drive a lot, I just give the kids their iPad immediately and they're pretty good. What do you do with River? Do you have to sit back there and play with her like the whole drive or what?
So on the long drive, like when we go, So when we will go like an hour long drive, I sit back there. I don't really play with her though. To be honest, I just, because she has thrown up in the past, it's a lot easier if I'm like back there and like ready to like clean up and mitigate, which is like one of the reasons why I do it. But I don't, she would be okay. I mean, honestly, she's kind of used to it now. This is cheesy. We sing songs, we do the alphabet. She, you know, looks out the window. We talk about what's outside. I mean, we're going on a road trip here in a couple of weeks, and that's a whole different ball game, like hours long car drive.
Right.
But she has actually done fairly well without her iPad on these drives.
That's good.
So, I mean, I don't know that there's any specific trick to it, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can't remember now when my older kids got into it, but we listened to a lot of stories on CD.
Oh. Yeah, that's a good
and
idea.
And they get really into it. And Bennett, you know, I think she does a little bit, you know, I'm not sure, she obviously doesn't get it as much as the big kids do, but like Magic Treehouse, we have a lot of those CDs.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And they last like 20, 30 minutes and they are into it, like silence in the car, like listening to the story. So that might be something, I don't know.
Or just like a kid podcast. They have the same idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, she likes these, if you have ever watched like the simple songs on YouTube. Yeah. I mean, she's not watching the videos, but like the songs, like we have them downloaded. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're like old McDonald and I don't know, the Wheels on the Bus, and she knows them and she's into them. And so that will distract her for a little bit. So.
Well, kudos for no, like growing up in the car recently. That's
I know. It's a, I mean, yes. If you've had a kid that has thrown up in the car,
it's maybe one of the most
unpleasant parenting experiences out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I would say, I think it's maybe number one in my book.
Yeah. It's worse than poop. It's just bite. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there's my win, guys. There's my win.
All right. It's a good one. It's a keeper.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Leave us a review. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Instagram. And
have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.
Ankle Moms, the podcast.
Thanks for listening.